The scripture reading for this morning that we're going to be using is from the book of Hebrews, 13th chapter, verses 20 and 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I've been preaching a series of sermons on biblical benedictions. And I'll remind you again that benedictions, in addition to being a way to more or less end a service of worship and send people off on their way, is also a blessing. A blessing that is given to offer it at least to people who, individuals or a group of people. I think you're going to like today's benediction because it talks about equipping us. And that's something we all need as Christians. We need to be equipped. No matter what we are doing, if we have the right equipment, it helps a great deal, doesn't it? I ran a painting business for about 12 years. And you would be surprised how much equipment it takes to do even a simple painting job, various kinds of job. And as you all know, Carol was in the hospital this past week. And we were sitting there looking around her room and we remarked on how much equipment there was in that room and how much it takes to care for people, patients. And I'm sure that is true over and over again in many, many ways. Equipment is very important. The right equipment for the right job is important. The same thing is true of living the Christian way of life. As Christians, we need to have the right equipment for two good reasons, as mentioned in the scripture that I just read. First of all, the Hebrew writer tells us that we need to be equipped with everything good so that there's a reason, there's a purpose, so that we can do God's will. I'll talk about what that equipment amounts to a little later. But for now, let's think about the importance of doing God's will. We've heard people talk about doing God's will. We've heard people talk about being right in the center of God's will. And that means that we want to live according to God's ways. God has his ways, and his ways are better than our ways. That's the first thing we have to realize. God has his ways, and he has his plans. And his plans are wonderful, and his plans are better than our plans. And sometimes we fail to recognize that. Sometimes we cling to, we hold on to what we want to do, what our plans are. And God is not able to work his will in our lives in that way. Some of the time, the problem that we have is that we have to try to figure out what God's will is for us. And that's not always easy to do, is it? When God made us, when he made mankind, he gave us what we call free will. Now, some have questioned the wisdom of God doing that because of all the trouble that we get ourselves into. But he did not want puppets. He did not want people that he could just pull a string and they would act in the way he wanted them to act. He wanted to give us the ability to choose, to make decisions on our own. He decided that it would be best to give us that freedom, to freely choose his plans and to follow in his ways voluntarily rather than being forced to do it. We all know that that didn't happen in that way because when we were given the choice, when we were given the ability to choose, when we were given that possibility, it proved to be a disaster for us. Because why? We rebelled against God and his ways and his plans. And we wanted to do it our way. We wanted to have it our way. We wanted to do our thing. which, of course, got us into a lot of trouble. The way it was supposed to be all along, that is, human beings come to that place in their lives where they literally desire to do what God wants them to do. They literally desire God's will over our own. It's really more than that, because we not only have to see that God's will is best when given the choice, we line them up, we stack them up, God's ways, our ways, and we choose either His way or our way. Not only do we need to see that God's will is best, we also have to yield. We have to surrender. That's not easy, is it? We have to give up our lives and do what He wants us to do. That is exactly what happened when we come to the Lord for salvation. God has made a way for us to be restored in our relationship with Him. But we must do it His way. We must do it God's way. It angers some people to hear that said. They hate to hear people talk about only one way. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to go. Jesus said, I am that way. There isn't any other way. There's no other alternatives. Well, there are. But they're not good and they're not the best. The only way to be restored in our relationship with God is to do it the way He has prescribed. There's a well-known TV personality who said recently, she doesn't believe anymore that there's only one way. But she believes that there are many ways to get to God. That is an example of the rebellious attitude that got humankind in trouble in the first place. To actually surrender our wills to God may be one of the hardest things we'll ever do. But it is absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. The next thing we see in today's scripture is that we need to be equipped so that God can work in us what is pleasing to Him, pleasing to God. It is encouraging to me when I think that our Heavenly Father wants to equip me so that I can be pleasing to Him. I want to be pleasing to Him. You want to be pleasing to Him. This is something that He works in me if I'm willing to let Him do it. Does God have such a big ego that He needs for us all the time to be saying to Him that we have to please Him all the time? Just we want to please God all the time? No, it's not that way at all. The truth of the matter is, He will love us just the same, whether we live in a way that is pleasing to Him or not. But you see, it affects our relationship with Him. Our relationship. What kind of relationship do we want to have? Do we want a distant relationship where we keep God at arm's length? Or do we want a close personal relationship, an intimate kind of relationship with God? And that is determined by whether or not we are willing to yield to Him, surrender to Him, and let Him have His way in our lives. Obviously, there are many people who don't care about pleasing God in their lives. They just want to live. They just live their lives any way that they see fit. They don't want to have to surrender their life to anyone. I say that because there are people that don't ever think about God. Do you know that there are people who don't give God a thought? They don't think about Him day in, day out. I don't know how they can do that. I think about Him all the time, and I'm sure you do too. I think about Him in the morning. I think about Him when I get up. I think about Him in daytime. I think about what He thinks about me. But there are people who just don't ever give God a thought. He's not in their reference in their lives. The same thing holds true in our human relationships. If we truly love someone, we will want to please them. Not because we have to, but because we get to. Because it's a privilege to be able to please someone else. We don't think in that in terms of, oh, I'm going to do this so I can get something back from that person. And we don't think that way in our relationship with God either. We don't love Him. We don't please Him because we know if we please Him, He's going to do things for us. He's going to give us stuff. we please Him because we want to have that kind of relationship with Him. It's an expression of love. Love. We want to love Him because He first loved us. I think I told you before that one of the most exciting times I remember as a little boy was the year I was able to buy some Christmas presents, the first time, for my family. I had a little job. Somebody had me do something, made a little money, and I saved it. And I wanted to buy them, my family. There were six others in my family. I wanted to buy each of them a little present. It wasn't much. I went to the 5 and 10 store and bought every one of them a little present for that Christmas. Up until that time, I had been on the receiving end. I had been given things. I had been given presents every Christmas. But I wanted to reach out and share. I wanted to reach out and give some to them too. Why? Because I wanted to please the members of my family. It's the same way with the Lord. When we begin to realize how good He has been to us, how much He has given to us, we will want to please Him in return. We will want to. One of the ways that we do that is by living a life that is pleasing to Him. Now, this is really not as hard as it may sound in a way. God is not hard to please. He's particular. He has His ways. He has His plans. He does things a certain way. But He's also very patient with us. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? He wants us to acknowledge Him and honor Him. But more than anything, He wants our fellowship. That's why He created us. He created us to have fellowship with Him. He wanted us to freely come to Him, let Him have a place in our lives, the most important place, and have a relationship with Him. There are some people who have what I call a performance mentality. They feel like they have to perform up to a certain standard because they have never been affirmed by anyone, especially those who are close to them. Maybe they were told that they couldn't do anything right. Or they were told that they just would never amount to anything. What a terrible thing to tell your children. But anyway, they felt like they just didn't measure up. And so their whole lives they're trying to prove something. If we're not careful, we can carry that over into our relationship with the Lord. We can feel like, I have to do something. I have to do this because I want to please the Lord so that He will love me. We don't have to do that. Think about it for a minute. If God could speak to you in an audible way, suppose you were walking down the street and you turned a corner, and right there in front of you was God. What do you suppose you would do? I think one thing you'd probably do is get down on your knees real fast and just worship Him. But then you would realize that He loves you. He wouldn't put you down. He wouldn't say, now I'm here to tell you all the bad things that you've done in your life. I think He would speak loving words of encouragement. Yes, He does know when we do wrong, and I'm sure that is hurtful to Him. I know it is hurtful to Him. But He still loves us and wants what is best for us. Always. Let me review what I just said. God equips us so that we can do His will. He is the one that makes it possible. And to live in such a way that we please Him. He wants us to live in a pleasing way. Now I want to talk about how God equips us. What is that equipment? Some of these items are fairly understandable. I mean, they're very obvious to us. Such as the Word of God. God has given us His Word to equip us to live and to overcome all of the tribulations, trials, and challenges that the world and Satan throw at us. It's a challenge to live the Christian life, isn't it? Especially in this day and age, in the culture that we live in. Paul wrote this about God's Word. All Scripture is God-breathed. That means that God, the word in Hebrew is ruach, breathed. You know, when He created us, what did He do? He breathed the breath of life into us. Otherwise, we'd just be zombies walking around. And that's what the Word of God is. It's God-breathed. It's inspiration. He gave it a special inspiration. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, and the woman of God as well, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Bible equips us. It's part of our equipment. Now I know that every one of you here this morning has a copy of the Bible at home. We're so blessed in this country. I read recently about an area in China where the American Bible Society is taking Bibles. And no one in that whole congregation, in this place, in this Christian congregation in China, had a Bible. Not a one. And they prayed, and they were waiting, and they were asking the Lord for His help. And the American Bible Society came in there. And they gave them all Bibles in their language. That's one of the things they do, you know, translate. And they were so happy. They would walk miles in order to go to worship and to hear the Word of God preached and taught. We all have Bibles. The question is, do we read them? Do we study them? The Bible doesn't do us a whole lot of good if all it does is sit on the coffee table, does it? God breathed life into His Word. And that means that we are made in the image of God. We have that image of God in us. Every person does, no matter who they are. God gave that to each and every person. And He gave His blessing on His Word. And it is inspired. It is His Word. We should, as we read it, we should just think, God's talking to me. He's speaking to me through His Word. No other body of writings is that inspired. And for that reason, it is useful in many ways. And one very important way it can be used in our lives is to equip us. Give us the right equipment. Important part of our Christian equipment. But it's only helpful, as I said before, if we use it. Another part of our equipment is the Holy Spirit. I've told you, I've talked about this a number of times, that we Christians have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. He comes when we become a Christian to live within us. He lives within our hearts. And He helps us live the Christian life. And His role is crucial. We cannot do it without Him. Not only does He lead us in the transformation process, making us more and more and more like Jesus all the time, but He also supplies divine resources to enable us to follow Jesus successfully, to follow Him successfully. And I use that word in the best sense. If we want to be a successful Christian, then we have to follow the Holy Spirit. If we don't have a real awareness of the Holy Spirit living in and through us, it will be well nigh impossible for us to be a strong Christian, to get very far as a Christian. I know that I am probably at my weakest and most subject to falling and failing when I neglect the Holy Spirit, when I don't have that awareness of Him in my life. And conversely, I am strongest when I am actively seeking and working with Him in my life. The Holy Spirit makes a difference. It makes a difference in your life, in my life. And He wants to work in us. Another item of our Christian equipment is the faith that we are called to live by. The faith that we are called to live by. The Bible tells us that we are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, that does not mean that we completely set aside our ability to see, because that is part of our natural ability, and we would be foolish not to use it. What is meant by walking by faith is that we have a way of seeing beyond. We see more, we see greater than our natural ability. And we look at a situation through faith. When we do that, we see it differently, and even beyond what we see and read and be able to understand. I have this pair of glasses that I use, that I have to use now to read with. I can't see without. And I'm sure there are many of you like that too. Thank God for them. I thank Him for the glasses. When I put them on, I see things differently, in a sense. But there are also what could be called Holy Spirit glasses. When we put those on, the Holy Spirit glasses, we see things differently, in a sense. I see them from God's perspective, rather than just from my own perspective, which opens up a whole new realm of possibilities, which knocks down the barriers. You know, we're sort of limited, aren't we, in our Christian ability? I mean, in our personal ability, in our natural ability. But when we factor in the Holy Spirit, that opens up a whole new realm of possibilities. When we become Christians, God gives us the measure of faith. We're told that. He gives us the measure of faith. And we have to exercise it. Faith does not grow unless faith is exercised. We have to use it, in other words. A person might pray, "Lord, increase my faith." And the Lord, I think, would answer, "Use what you have. Use what you have, and it will grow. It will increase. Your faith will grow." This keeps us humble and dependent on the Lord, because we know in our hearts that He supplies even our ability to believe. Without Him, we probably would not. Well, what I've listed for you is not all of our Christian equipment, but the items that I've listed may be the most important ones. I'll remind you again that God is the one who does the equipping. He does it for a purpose. Sometimes we might get to thinking, "I just don't have what it takes to be a strong Christian. I'll always be weak. I'll never amount to much as far as being a Christian, living a Christian life." That's just not true, brothers and sisters. Not true. We firmly believe that when God calls a person to do something, He gives them what they need. He gives them all that they need in order to be able to do it. We think of that in terms of ministry. But it also, I believe, applies to living the Christian life. Peter wrote, "His, that is God's divine power, has given us everything, everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." I don't know what that means to you, but what it means to me is that God is rooting for us. He's rooting for us to run and finish that race with flying colors. Here's the benediction once more. And as I said before, please take it personally. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for giving us what we need, for equipping us to please You, to live according to Your will in our lives. Thank You, Father, that when we have that right equipment, it makes it not necessarily easier, but better. So, Father, help us to look to You, to depend on You, to trust in You, to let You do that. And let us Also, Father, help us to do our part, to live that life that you want us to live. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.